Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 191, episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Monday, June 28th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. 'Cause I got trends and zeit, places where the Baja blasts and the weed blazes my blues away. It'll be okay. Now I'm not big on chuggy culture. Think I'll hover around like an old vulture. 'Cause I got trends. In Zeit places. That is courtesy of Tulip City Dispatch. Shout out to you. And I'm thrilled to be joined by today's special guest co-host, one of the very kings of culture himself.
Oh,
he is an Ambie-nominated podcast host, writer, producer, actor, voice artist. And even though it's not in that list of credits, he is one of my favorite singers.
Oh.
He is the brilliant and talented Jacquees Neal!
Here we go. I know it sounds funny, but I just really love Zeit Gang. But I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, baby, you know I've done all I can. I potted, made you laugh, and I borrowed. Oh, that's why I'm Jacquees. Jacquees likes Sunday mornings. Doo-doo-doo. Sing along with me, Zeit Gang. That's why I'm Jacquees. Jacquees likes Sunday morning.
Yeah.
What's up, niggas?
What's up,
shout out man? To at MFC Erickson. He gave me the idea for that. Jacquees? I ran with it.
Jacquees like Sunday morning. Which is when you're Jacquees like Sunday morning, what are you doing?
you are dreading waking up and, you know, and
trying to stay in bed for
trying to stay in bed for a little bit longer and waking up like, why am I still sleepy? And, you know, that's what Jack Keeson like Sunday morning is.
I queued you up as one of my favorite singers and you did not disappoint.
Oh, my
I know
goodness.
That's a lot to put on your shoulders, but I knew you would come through.
Oh, well, listen, you gave it to me first. You sang us out. I just brought us home, but you know, I'm happy to be here. What's up, everybody?
What's up, man? Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by another yes. hilarious improviser from one of the first improv comedy podcasts to ever do it, Left Handed Radio. He is Adam Bozarth!
Hi, Jack and Jaquise.
What's
Hi,
up?
Adam? Here. I'm not in good voice today. If I started okay. singing, it would be kind of Odekirkian, I would call it.
It's all right, man. It's all right. You know, we sang enough for you, so we'll just say that you were featured on both of our tracks.
Yeah, exactly. I think I heard a little coming from Adam.
Yeah.
And by the way, Bob Odenkirk, one of my favorite singers also. So you guys should take any compliments I give your voice with a huge grain of salt. Adam, where are you coming to us from?
Thai Town, Hollywood, Los Angeles.
Thai Town, Hollywood.
Is that granular enough?
Right. Ooh, I love Thai Town. That's where I found Roadie Bread. Roadie Bread. Shout out Flat Top. Shout out Flat Top Chicago. Flat Top Grill in Chicago. They sell Roadie Bread. I always looked for it. A homie of mine, Joy, was like, check Thai Town. I think it's like the Shalom Market. That could be 100% incorrect.
Yeah.
I'm Is like that the
right
name of it?
Corner from that.
Okay, thing. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Go get that roadie bread, y'all. Go get that roadie bread.
And that's roadie. How are we spelling roadie?
R-O-T-I.
Okay. So not R-O-U, R-O-A-D-I-E, like the people who work backstage for Megadeth or Metallica.
No, you don't want roadie bread, no.
You don't want roadie bread. Yeah, you don't want that roadie bread. You can catch that at Hollywood and Highland. They got a couple stores. You can get that.
All right, Adam, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the very funny things we're talking about. Today, we're talking about the horrifying building collapse down near Miami. There's just this like genre of news stories of catastrophes that we could have seen coming. These news stories are all happening inside the big, like historic one of climate change. So I just want to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court just nailing it, allowing slavery to be used by Nestle, just taking away some rights from unions because, you know, unions in America, when will it stop? They're everywhere.
Never.
They're just all over the place. Too many rights, I say. We'll talk about it's a heavy one to start the week
off.
What?
It's a beautiful start to the week, and I love it.
We are going to check in with the Nielsen ratings and explain where Nielsen ratings come from. And I feel like they're going to be a consistent part of our show because they have finally put together a system that takes into account streaming. So we'll be able to have a better sense of what people are streaming.
Only on the Daily Zeitgeist will you get a building collapsing, slavery, and the Nielsen ratings,
and
baby.
Nielsen
only
ratings.
Only here on the TDZ, y'all.
On equal footing. It is a second-rate podcast, after all. But first, Adam, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Jordan Peterson?
Uh-huh.
Hear me out.
Okay. Okay, we will.
I was trying to explain to my partner, Anna, who he was. And I don't know if you guys went through this pandemic for the past 16 months, but it's played havoc on my memory. So I had to be like, what was it that he was so bad about? And so I had to like look up explainers and refresh myself on what his whole deal was again. And it was just like, it was a weird kind of peek into like a box of memories you haven't opened up in a while. Like, oh, my gosh,
yeah,
you know.
So you weren't Googling, how is Jordan Peterson right about everything? How does this keep
No,
happening?
No.
Yeah.
No, I did get those as video suggestions, but
right, yeah.
Will God, you see YouTube me as poisonous. Ignorant if I don't know anything about Jordan Peterson? Like, what is he famous for?
He's famous for being a psychologist, like a psychology professor who
in Canada.
Inserted himself into the... In Canada, let's be, in Canada.
Let's qualify it.
We're about to hear a story about Canadian schools. I'm just saying. Let's
right. Tying it in. He also like sort of inserted himself into the transgender debate in like about 2016, saying he wasn't going to use preferred pronouns. He also wrote a book called like Beyond Chaos, 12 Rules for Living or something. And most of them are like, you know, go to bed early, eat meat exclusively or some, you know, just this guy's kind of deteriorated.
It's like a mixture of things that are like observably true, like, you know, sleep is important. And then like make your bed sometimes, like things that your parents would tell you. And then just like poisonous men's rights activist ideals. He was also like had a very strange last like few years where like his daughter, like he was living with his daughter who was like kind of controlling his life. And then like he was addicted to benzos and then like went to Russia to get an experimental treatment for benzo addiction that ended up putting him in a coma. So just like kind of a rough few years for somebody who is famous for telling people how to live their lives.
Sounds like a hero.
Yeah.
The one thing I remember from the discussion about his book was that he frequently talked about in like Beyond Chaos or whatever it's called, that he watches The Simpsons on double speed.
That's just efficient, bro. Because you want to know what happens in the plot, but you don't want to get the rhythm of the jokes or anything like that. Because that time that you're laughing is wasted energy.
It's wasted energy. Wanna, 24 minutes is too long to watch TV. Gotta speed this up.
The Simpsons especially is just like, so it goes down so easy. Why the fuck would you?
Gotta speed this up to an episode, to half an episode of SpongeBob. Yeah. It was wild.
He also like has a bunch of metaphors about human behavior that draw on the behavior of lobsters. You know, nobody has ever accused lobsters of being like the the thing to model your behavior after, but he takes the interactions and dynamics between female and male lobsters and draws conclusions from that to like how you should act as a man towards women. Wow. I believe.
Well, look, I'm glad I asked.
So that saved you a Google.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. What is something you think is overrated?
Well, I think the big story that keeps going around about the unemployment crisis is kind of overrated. I think that there's that big media narrative, like nobody wants to go to work. Everybody's quitting their job. And it's just like, no, it's not that. It's like a capital strike. So many companies made so many billions and billions of dollars. So many companies got free money from the government at one point from like Steve Mnuchin. We don't know who got it. Mm-hmm. That money's out there and they just don't. And they need people to work, but they don't want to pay anybody. But it's always framed as like, oh, everybody got used to not working in the pandemic. Right. I don't know, but like, I hate being unemployed. Like, it's the worst. I want to take a job, but I don't want to take a job that like leaves me worse off.
Right.
At the end of the day than not working. It's such a, So I think it's so crazy to see how overinflated that media narrative is.
Yeah. Very American media.
I think the real headline is during a pandemic, workers started to realize their fucking worth. is the thing, you know? Yeah. Like, people started to realize, wait a minute, I should be earning more than poverty wages. Or wait a minute, you know, a lot of I'm just a cog in a wheel. So I'm going to care about myself a little bit more. And it's not that people don't want to work. It's that people don't want to work and live in poverty still, you know, people don't want to commute an hour and a half to their job just to barely live above the poverty line. You know, it's so much more in depth than you guys are lazy. And that's why we won't give you anything, because if we give you more, then you'll be even more lazy than you are. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, something that's not borne out by the statistics, but we talked about this story earlier in the week and just like the bullshit of this media narrative. And some of our listeners who work in the service industry were pointing out like it's really awful to work in the service industry normally in America because you're getting like all these sublimated ideals of superiority and like how much money you make being an indicator of like your inherent worth. Like basically America is a very classist society that refuses to allow you to acknowledge that it has class structures in place. And so it's just a complete fucking nightmare for anybody working in like one of those jobs that a lot of people are focusing on when they're perpetuating this narrative that like, and then so our listeners were saying, and it got way worse during the pandemic, because when you add anxiety to an already weird dynamic of people, you know, taking out their anxieties and frustrations on on people who are serving them, and like this whole American idea of like the customer is always right, it just becomes a complete shit show. So
as somebody who worked in the service industry, mostly retail, I am here to let all my customers know you're mostly wrong. Generally all the time.
Almost always. Yeah.
Almost always. You're wrong. You're wrong. You don't know shit.
Yeah.
Like and it's true. You know, like, and that's okay. Like, let the people who you come to like give you a service without giving them shit. Is why. And you know, if you go to rest right now, I know this has probably been said on the Zeitgeist, but be patient with all workers right now. Like, we have accelerated our consumerism a lot quicker than the service and the work industry has been able to catch back up after 16 months of a pandemic, which is still ongoing. It's ending, but it's ongoing. So it's pretty wild, man. It's a wild time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And keep tipping. Keep the tipping up, please. It's everybody was overworked before because that was how the system was built for, like, you know, restaurants and retail. They overwork everybody. The schedules are written to be razor thin, like really tight. So like you can't miss work. If you miss work, then you're the asshole and your whole everybody works with you hates you. And now it's worse. And now there's gaps in that system, you know. So, like, if you are going to go out, please, you know, consider tipping at least 20%.
At the very least. 20% is now the bottom. Like, we need to be tipping more.
Tip 25% and then tip an extra 15% to me every time you go out.
Via Venmo.
Via Venmo.
Do you want to give them the Venmo address? Yeah, man. It's one of those things that Americans just like don't realize the dynamic. Like, not to be the when I went abroad guy, but when I went abroad and came back, like one of the first things I noticed, I was in Ireland because that was an easy language for me to learn. And when I came back, like there's not that many differences between like a, you know, an Ireland and America. But like the way that people have no patience and treat customer service and just service workers like absolute shit is like palpable. You like notice that immediately. Like just it's just a completely different like quality to human interactions in America.
I was home recently and we went out to like a Panera Bread with like me and my parents. And it was clear that they're like training a person who is, I think, probably within her retirement age, but she just started there or something. And my dad just kept looking and being like, oh, she's not doing it right. Like, this is taking forever. Why? And it's just like, can you shut your mouth, please? Like,
hey, Dad.
Nobody wants to work here.
Right.
To make your sandwich wrong.
Yeah, it's like American sin eaters. I read that metaphor used recently, like the people who we just like give all our anxieties and like social like dysfunction to are like the people who work at Panera. It's just like, come on, guys. They have to smell the fake smell of fake bread until it makes them like lose a part of their soul. Just cut them a fucking break.
Cut them a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam, what's something you think is underrated?
I landed on Tom Sharpling. Are you guys aware of Tom Sharpling?
Yeah. The host of the best show. I love Tom Sharpling. Yeah.
He's got a new book coming out. I'm very excited to read. For anybody who's listening who doesn't know anything about him, he's like a TV writer, but worked on the HBO's Divorce and Monk. But he started doing The Best Show, which was like a 3-hour long comedy show on WFMU in New Jersey, which is like a public, not a public station. It's a listener funded station. It's a 3-hour long like call in show. And he has like comedians and characters and stuff on it. He started doing it in, you know, like when Bill Clinton was still the president before, you know, iPods. So like, you know, is like a guy who's been at it for forever, who's just, you know, started as this guy in New Jersey with a radio show and is now, you know, selling books. He's got this podcast with Julie Klausner. He's very funny. Like, I don't think he's still not getting the recognition he deserves. He still feels like a undiscovered comedy gem that you can, you know, he's got so much work to go back in experience. So I'm hoping that like it kind of turns over. He's also involved in like, I think the first season of What We Do in the Shadows as a producer, writer, I think. So he's very, very funny. I just think not enough people know about him.
Listen, yeah.
He's writing Grown Ups 3 right now, which let me tell you.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
You better get to the theater and see that next Adam Sandler, Chris Rock jam,
oh,
y'all.
Hell yeah, man.
Wow. Okay.
But he is good. He's somebody that like all your favorite comedians and comedy writers are like a big fan of and like probably know personally. And The Best Show is awesome. It's available as a podcast, or at least some episodes are available as a podcast. But he's also like, he would like do these weird like music mashups that I don't know. He's just like super talented dude. Like everything he does is kind of cool. He did this like one mashup of The Doors, and he was like, you know, I didn't really like The Doors until I just did that. And it was true of me too. I didn't like The Doors until I heard his like mashup that like used some of Jim Morrison's vocals. Yeah, he's a really interesting and funny dude.
Hell yeah.
Great underrated, man. Great underrated. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out What's New on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And so there's the building collapse in Miami Surfside last week, at the end of last week. We're not, like, we don't have all the information on what caused it, but there are reports starting to come out that it was a building that, you know, people who pay attention to these sorts of things were worried about, like, had their eye on starting in the 90s.
Yeah.
Scientists in the 1990s said they noticed something wasn't right. It was a byproduct of analyzing the data. We saw this building had some kind of unusual movement. And it's just this genre of story. So, like, Adam McKay has this movie coming soon where a couple scientists notice that there's a world-ending asteroid, like, hurtling towards Earth to destroy us all. It's called Don't Look Up. And they go from country to country, like, warning world leaders about it. And, like, nobody will take it seriously. Everybody's just like, yeah, sure. No, we get it. We hear what you're saying. But they just, like, won't do anything about it. And I think it's a good metaphor, but it's like we have metaphors of that every single fucking day. Like, it's constant.
All the time.
Yeah, there's this is one such metaphor where, and, like, local politicians are like, let's not jump to conclusions. We don't know what caused it. But the fact that they are, like, that there was data that was like, this building is doing something buildings shouldn't do back in the 90s, like, suggests, and they hadn't done anything.
Not a single thing. They still rented out condos.
Oh, this thing.
It's wild to, I saw this story and literally, like, just, you hear it and you're like, damn. But, like, think about this. Think if you're asleep at 1 a.m. and your building collapses on top of you. 50
stories. No, I can't. You're, like, giving me a panic attack right now.
It is the wildest shit that it is truly. I'm surprised this isn't, like, a bigger story, because it is terrifying. It's terrifying. And then to hear, yo, we actually been, you know, on this since 1990. It's like, all right, then, damn. Y'all building new shit all the time, and y'all couldn't tear this building down and build a new one. It's wild. It's wild.
It's not good when the experts are like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, right. They knew what the building, right. Yeah. They knew what the building was before, like, anybody told them.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. And, you know, anybody who lives in the L.A. area, I think, is also seeing a proliferation of high-rise buildings going in all around Los Angeles. And, you know, it's not outside of the imagination that there will be a earthquake that can rattle these things enough, you know, to cause some significant damage.
I mean, we have, there's another kind of smaller scale, but still catastrophic story, like, where we're still waiting for the other shoe to drop, but we know the other shoe is going to drop with the, what's called the Cascadia subduction zone, which is the Pacific Northwest, actually, has had, like, some of the biggest earthquakes in the history of the world, but it's just, they were happening before people were habitating, like, that part of the country. but they were so big that like they created massive tsunamis that hit Japan, like raced all the way across the Pacific Ocean and hit Japan because that's how big these earthquakes are. Seismologists finally like figured it out in the past 25 years that like we're due for another one of these like massive, you know, catastrophic tsunami creating earthquakes in the next 50 to 100 years. And they're still like building schools in the tsunami zones and shit. Like they're like, you know, ringing the church bells and fucking meeting with the mayors. And the mayors are like, okay, we hear you. This is that information we're going to dismiss as being unprofitable.
Yeah. It's like, we hear you. We hear you. We really do.
Yes.
But real talk, I ain't going to know nobody in 100 years. I don't care about them motherfuckers. Exactly. Like, that's what they saying. That's what they saying.
Do you see it coming? I don't see the earthquake.
Yeah. Right.
100 years? Oh, shit, I'll be dead before then. Fucking right. Build. Mm-hmm. Like, it's wild. It's crazy.
There's another, like, the deadliest landslide of all time happened in Peru. And this is another case, like, in 1960, these mountaineers, like, climbed up a mountain and were like, oh, shit, like, the whole side of this mountain is ready to give way. Like, you guys need to move this town. And those scientists were run out of town, like run out of the country, basically, by local officials. And then 10 years later, an entire town was like swallowed by a landslide when there was an earthquake. Exactly what they fucking said. It was like word for word. Like they were like, well, so here's what's going to happen if you guys don't like do something about it. And they just didn't do anything and instead kicked them out of the country.
You know what, Jack and Adam? I'm going to give you this permission as well. If like we're ever in a building that collapses or, you know, a mudslide happens and they've known that shit was going to happen for 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years and we survive, we have 100% autonomy to give each and every person we run into them hands if we ever run into them. Like we do. Like we like on site. On site, I don't give a fuck, and we can't go to jail. You can't do nothing because you knew. I survived. I'm beating your ass every time I'm seeing you, every single time. So like, we all have that autonomy. We can all do that if our buildings collapse on top of us, which would suck for you know.
I'll make that deal.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to have the permission to.
This is
to
what
say
the
that.
Supreme Court should be ruling instead of protecting corporations from.
Yes, the Supreme Court should rule like the times we can realistically give people these hands and it'd be okay.
if you survive a terrorist attack, you get your student debt paid off. If you survive a landslide or a building collapse, you get to slap whoever you want.
Right.
These are fair deals. These are practical solutions.
You kind of start to see the problem when you listen to the scientists from this building collapse talk about the problem. The scientist says, it's very sad that people are forced to be reactive. We're constantly putting out fires. I think there's a systemic problem we have. Investing in preventative measures instead of reactive responses saves lives, money, and time. It's like, yeah, I mean, that like everything they just said is true, but you also understand like systemic problems, investing in preventative measures. Okay, Poindexter, why don't you go do me up a math equation and me and my boys are going to go over here and like fight some people who did crimes already that already hurt somebody.
Yeah.
It's just like not the shit that humans respond to.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we've also done things that basically behavioral modifications and like taking into account, okay, this is what humans respond to. This is what they don't respond to. And like, this is how we get things to change over long periods. We just need to start sort of engineering society so that we take these, you know, existential threats to the human species like seriously and start making changes. I just don't know how to like force their hand to do it.
Well, you know, if we do that, then we would have no more action movies.
Right.
Like, no more action movies.
Yeah.
If we get rid of all disasters, what else are we going to watch The Rock do?
Right. I mean, that's exactly right. We
raise
pay money
his daughter.
To see action movies, not preventative measures to safeguard action movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's going to be, they're going to find a villain they're going to find somebody to pin it on. Like, oh, you did this, you know?
Yeah.
It's the contractor's fault. It's this person's fault. Or, you know, some sort of made up anarchists organization is actually right. the fault. They're just going to pin it on somebody. And like, it's probably the way that the whole climate crisis gets solved is when we finally go like, hey, it's this guy's fault that we've been burning gas for 100 years. Let's get him.
I mean, we have the, we know who the villains are. It's fucking Exxon. It's like the oil companies, yeah. and like mm-hmm. 50% of climate change was caused by like 10 companies. It's,
yeah, we know.
I'll give you your villains.
Yeah.
Just like come ask me. I'll tell you who the villains are. I'll tell you who the villains are in this, this building collapse. I'll tell you who the villains were in that Peruvian landslide. You just have to like do the research.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Supreme Court real quick, because as mentioned, and there's like a lot of, I'm seeing on like anywhere from the center to the right, people being like, well, these are not as big a deal as you think. But like when you like thinking about behavioral engineering type shit, and thinking about like corporations and how you get corporations to do anything, and how just what we know about how corporations behave, these are major rulings. So first there was a ruling where the Supreme Court found that people who suffered under child slavery could not sue American corporations who profited from the child slavery. So Nestle's and a lot of chocolate companies for long periods of their history were profiting off of child slavery. You know, they weren't saying, like, there wasn't a Nestle's corporate meeting where they said, go do child slavery. Instead, they were just like, you know, we like when labor costs are near zero, and, you know, they let the dirty work be done in other countries. And that's the Supreme Court's like, yeah, they technically didn't say it in America, so we have to let them go. Like, that's been the biggest trend in the Supreme Court over the past 20 years, is just like absolutely letting corporations get away with fucking anything.
They're
just
bro.
Like, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. they are like the thing that most needs to be protected in this country, as opposed to the single most powerful actor in the United States.
Yeah. And like, I'm looking here too. And it, you know, it's wild. We have a road here in LA called Cesar Chavez, right? We name an entire road after a man who did so much for so many people. And the Supreme Court ruled that a California regulation, which allows union organizers to recruit agricultural workers at their workplace, violated the constitutional rights of their employee. Like, it undid so much work that this man did, and you still like have the nerve to walk on his street here in like, California. Yeah. It's so wild how we shit on people doing real change. We shit on the actual worker, and we shit on people wanting to form unions to protect themselves. At the expense of who? Like, that's what I'm not understanding. Like, nobody's going to not be rich anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still going to be rich. I'm all for people having their money. People, have your money. I don't care. Have your millions, have your billions. I don't give a shit. Like, it's not going to change. I get that. But at the expense of people who are barely making it, who do real things for change, you take away, like, something that people fought and died for. For a corporation that's here today, maybe gone tomorrow, it's so insane to me. It's so infuriating to me as well.
Yeah.
What is the constitutional right being violated here? You know what I mean? Like,
the ruling came about because corporations were like, these unions are coming onto our land that we own and contacting our workers. It's like a complete bullshit technicality. Yeah, trespassing, basically. But yeah, basically, the first one, the slavery one, was like an 8-1 ruling. This one is 6-3 with the three liberal justices like being the ones who held out. But
Jack, are you saying that some liberal people like allowed slave? They still want slavery to go like liberals?
Right.
I thought all liberals.
I know it's shocking, right?
What? Oh, man, I got to go. I'll talk to y'all in an hour.
I mean, it's funny, like, Obama, who's like number one liberal, like of our lifetime always said, like, that the arc of the universe bends towards justice. Like, he took that Martin Luther King Jr. quote. But I feel like we're also seeing that the arc of the universe in America bends to towards, like, erasure of the work done by left wing and, like, you know, community organizers.
Yeah.
Cesar Chavez. Like, when I was growing up, I was like, you mean Julio Cesar Chavez, the boxer? I didn't know who the fuck that was. Like, growing up in a public education in Ohio, and like Martin Luther King Jr., like all of the community building and like workers and poor rights work that he did gets erased, and it just turns into a message of like being the value of being colorblind. And it's just like, yeah, man. That, and then Obama, who starts out as a community organizer, becomes like the person who bails out Wall Street.
Yeah.
It's just
live long enough to see yourself becoming the villain, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Also, I did I call him Cesar Chavez earlier and not Cesar? I'm sure I did.
I might have too. But
it's okay. You know what?
We blame education. We blame education. I mean, cancel yeah. I mean, my history teacher.
It's America.
Cancel,
yeah.
It's America.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that my lesson on Cesar Chavez was just the name Cesar Chavez. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like that's all the information you get is like there was a man whose name we mispronounced.
There you go.
Has a day. Right. Okay. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys think that? What would a class war look like to you all? Like, I have trouble because, it seems like we may be heading toward that. Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know how it would look, though, because I feel so unpowerful that,
yeah.
Like, it feels like taking a knife to a bazooka fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
I think it'll look like last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll have to look like,
yeah.
You know, the community organizing that happened last year, but like ramped up. And yeah. I don't know. I think it'll have to be like something that starts and then like builds up a momentum of its own, because unions have been so defanged, and like the actual, or, you know, organizations that organize people have been so just kneecapped in America that like there's not, I don't know like how a planned out thing happens. I think it's going to have to be people reach a breaking point and like come together. But I don't know, man. The Supreme Court is just so far to the right that I don't know like what. Like, I guess there's also generational stuff happening where like now even young Republicans are socialists. So like eventually, maybe once these, this is the second time I've been like, once these baby boomers mercifully die off in the past week. But, you know, once they go away, maybe things will start to, I don't know, resemble.
Move in a different direction. I mean, you know, like we're literally talking about child slavery here. And we're literally talking about not giving people their rights to care about themselves. Like, this is what we're talking. And the Supreme Court is ruling against these things.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's 2021. And you would think the better part of us as a humanity would realize, even if you're Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative, whatever it is, that like children shouldn't be slaves. They shouldn't be working under bad conditions. They shouldn't be working at all, you know? And for a party that cares so much about life and pro-life and all these things, it's so cliche, but it's so true. That they care about, you know, life up until they pop out of their moms and, you know, enter into the real world. Then it's like, all right, two fingers, motherfucker. Like, you know, it's so wild. It's so wild. I don't.
Yeah.
It's daunting.
I mean, so the child slavery thing, like, is the thing that it's taken away is the ability for them to sue corporations. And corporations are inherently, like, designed to be institutions that create value for their shareholders. So it is their job to use whatever the cheapest form of, like, the system is designed to take advantage of child slavery in foreign markets. And then just to like give a little more detail on the unionizing thing, like what unions were able to do was come to farms to like organize people, because that was the only place that you could actually reach workers. Because these corporations would bus people in from off location and you couldn't like reach them through the newspaper a lot of times because maybe they didn't speak English, you know, all sorts of institutional reasons that they were hard to organize. So you needed to be able to come onto the farms to actually reach the workers and tell them what their rights were. And this is going to make it so that corporations, once again, like they just no longer need to allow that to happen. So it once again becomes like their duty as like shareholder value creators to just fucking treat people like shit. Like that is the bottom line of what these rulings mean.
Yeah.
The language of law, you know, how like legalese, for lack of a better term, I feel like the language of the law here in the United States does a lot to distance you from the human reality of things. Like it is as simple as you're saying, Jaquise, that it's child slavery. It's child slavery. What kind of decision are you going to make, a decision that perpetuates child slavery? But then when you get into a long, days long legal argument with that sort of, you know, the language of, you know, I can't even speak it because I'm just a dumb comedian, but like it, all of that highfalutin, you know, dispassionate, non-humanitarian language goes a long way to going like, well, of course we should give more rights to corporations because, you know, their corporations are bigger than us, so they deserve better rights or whatever the fuck is going on in their head. Right. It's just, it's so antisocial. It's so antisocial.
Yeah.
If you made it like whatever the fucking logic is the Supreme Court is using, if you made it so that these people could come back and sue a company after they profited off of like treating them or, you know, using their slave labor, then the corporation is going to spend a shitload of money to make sure that shit doesn't happen anymore. And now instead they're going to spend a shitload of money just ignoring that problem. So instead of using like American capitalism for good, we've just sort of passed the buck. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk Nielsen ratings.
Oh, yes, sir.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global.
When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And all right. So like we've talked a lot about streaming stuff throughout the history of this show, and it's mostly been based on, you know, people trying to read the tea leaves based on like what's trending on Netflix, what's trending on Prime, like all these various things. And then there were some services that like took people's internal numbers. And also Nielsen did have a measurement service that used the audio from TVs to, like audio tracking devices on TVs to like read what the ratings were for streaming content. But it was all like very roundabout and not very good. So this is like me introducing the fact that I think I'll definitely be talking more about Nielsen ratings, just because I'm, you know, I think it's this show's duty to like figure out what people are watching and what people are thinking about. That's like what the zeitgeist is.
Yeah. Can I go off for a minute?
Yes, please.
Please. It is insane to me that in the year of our Lord 2021, that we still, like, networks still base a show's survival off of people sitting down and watching shit live. People have not been watching things live since like 2009. That trend has been going downward on a consistent basis. Now, I'm not saying people don't watch things live. I know there is still a huge contingency of people in middle America and not on the coast, or older people who still sit down, watch their movies like it's 1983, or watch their TV shows like it's 1983, commercials and all. But, you know, most of us don't. And I'm thinking of a show like Manifest. I don't know if any of the Zeit Gang is Manifest fans, but I was. NBC, which stands for nothing but cancellations, just canceled their show. Canceled that show that just released on Netflix and sat at number one in the entire fucking country as the most watched show on Netflix for a week and a half, and NBC canceled it.
And like, it's they canceled like, it while it was at number one.
While it was at number one. And I'm just like, I don't understand how some of these networks don't, and I get it. Don't come in my DMs like I don't understand it. I'm in entertainment. I understand better than 95% of the Zeit Gang. I get it. But, like, I get it's advertising. I fucking get it. But I still don't understand how we can say a show is not popular when 2.1 million watch it on TV, and then 15 million watch it on Netflix or Hulu. That show is fucking popular as hell. Like, right. It infuriates me. So I'm so happy that Nielsen has finally woken up from their long dirt nap that they've been taking and are deciding to incorporate streaming into their goddamn numbers. It's insane.
I mean, I've always been shocked at how just ass backwards and like retrograde the TV rating systems were, like, for insane. A long time. So let's just do a quick history of Nielsen ratings. So
let's do it.
Nielsen actually began as a company in 1923 measuring the quote quality of conveyor belts and turbine generators.
The and, television of its day.
Yes, exactly. We just sat around and watched turbines. And
only 10 million people were watching those turbines. Cancel right. it.
Then in 1950, they started measuring TV audiences. And at first, they were just doing it with paper diaries that had to be filled out by families. And this was super biased because it was often just like the mom would do it. they didn't start like doing an electronic people meter until the 80s. So for 30 years, TV ratings were purely based on like mail-in like response from people being like,
yeah,
well, here's what we watched. And then in the 80s, it was like still, I think, partially based on that. It was like wild. And no matter what, like from the start, Nielsen has been based on like a small number of people's responses to those queries, like those mail-in things, or, you know, if they are one of the families with a Nielsen box, but it's still like a very small portion. And they're just then extrapolating based on those families, like to say, well, that must mean that like this number
right.
of people were watching TV.
Like if 100,000 people are in this Nielsen like survey for a show and like 20,000 people watch the show, then they'll just up convert that number to, well, this must mean 2.1 million people watch this show tonight.
Right.
And like that sounds stupid.
It's, and that's been what it is from the start. From the start.
From the very like, beginning, yeah.
So recently, like as recent as like earlier this year, Nielsen was kind of feuding with streaming networks for undercounting viewership because during the pandemic, they weren't sending field agents to check on the boxes. Like that's the level of like antiquated it is that they had people like your local Nielsen delivery guy who would like come up and like check the back of your box like it was a fucking gas meter. And then like that's how you would know like what people were watching. And so because they weren't sending people out, Nielsen was just like, people must not be watching TV. I don't know how the fuck that happened.
And like, I mean, listen, I'm not a liar, but if one of my favorite shows was on the bubble, I'll come in and be like, oh, yeah, man, every house in Illinois is watching Hanging with Mr. Cooper today, man. Yeah, everybody, go ahead and keep that alive. Go ahead and take that off the bubble. Like, you can't, it's funny.
It is. So finally, they recently announced their new method to measure streaming numbers, and this is why I'm very excited is because this method, at least just at the very like, you know, idea phase, actually makes sense. Like, before, the only way that they were figuring out what people were streaming was using audio recognition software in the Nielsen boxes. So it was only capturing like what was being watched on TV, and Netflix was like, actually, most of our shit is watched on like laptops and phones. So what are you talking about? Anyways, this thing called the gauge actually measures internet traffic through the router. So as long as you're watching a show on Wi-Fi, it will capture that. And, you know, there are some big flaws with the tech, namely that it still only measures TVs, which is insane. But they're at least like starting to capture like what people are watching. And it's like 5 weeks of data, but the 5 weeks of data is still pretty interesting. Like Handmaid's Tale, still very popular, you guys.
How?
I know.
Do you guys think that this is going to spell a disaster for Netflix, especially, who just keeps their numbers to themselves and has been very like private about their like viewership numbers?
I don't personally.
Because it reminds me of the Facebook thing that was going on when like, you know, digital video was such a huge thing and people were making all the advertising deals that were going on for digital video because Facebook would report certain numbers for certain things. But those were all either inflated or improperly recorded or something like that. And it just led to a huge crash of the, you know, like online video world. And that just completely like went away overnight. And it feels like this could happen if Netflix is as like, has been cagey about certain things, you know, for more than they might let on. I was also surprised in the article that you guys pulled that Disney Plus only has 1% of the streaming share.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Disney Plus is low. Yeah. HBO Max is apparently really low.
Very low. Yeah.
Like Mayor of Easttown like never broke into the top 10, even though it was like a, you know, massively buzzy show that everybody was talking about.
I think that's more indication to, you know, what's popular on on Twitter is not necessarily indicative of what's popular in the world. And, you know, One day we'll get that in every facet of life, politics, sports, everything, you know, right. But that's another conversation for another day. To answer your question, Adam, I don't think Netflix cares. Let me put on my tinfoil hat real quick. Netflix is like, everybody's like, oh, is Netflix worried because people are pulling their content and putting it on their own streaming service? Which is funny to me because Netflix is the model for that, which is why people, you know, Edgar, former co-host of Culture Kings, said something to me that always stuck with me about Netflix. And it's like, Adam, if you gave me your dog to walk every day, because you didn't feel like walking it, and I walked it, and in the process of me walking your dog, I started to realize that people, like, really liked your dog, and, like, your dog started doing tricks, and I let your dog do tricks, and I would get paid money for your dog doing tricks, so I would take your dog on a walk every day, have him do tricks, pocket the money, and you realize, like, hold on, motherfucker, give me my dog back, I want to make money, too. Like, that's what's happening with, like, a lot of these streaming services. Like, they have realized what Netflix had, and was like, all right, let's do it. Netflix doesn't care about it anymore. Netflix is trying to become a production company, which they very much are already. Mm-hmm. And they are a production company that is very unique in the way that all of their stuff that they produce, their movies and things like that, is all regulated to just Netflix. So all the numbers and everything that they have, which is why they don't care about people sharing passwords, is why they don't care about, it's not about, they are building their cachet up to be the next Paramount, to be the next Universal, to be the next Warner Brothers. And I think all the other shit, they just don't care about because, you know, as long as people are subscribing, it's all good.
Yeah. When you look at the actual numbers and like the top 10, it seems like when there's a hit show or a hit movie, like Coming to America 2 was actually a massive hit. Borat was a massive hit for like a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And The Handmaid's Tale, like these shows are big hits that like pop up and like will hit number one for a couple weeks. But everything else, like Netflix is the default. Who Killed Sarah was like this show that had been out for like 6 weeks that was at number two the week that The Handmaid's Tale premiered. Like Jupiter's Legacy,
even heard of it?
Right, Jupiter's Legacy was a show that they canceled after like 3 weeks. That was at number three. Like they are. I think these numbers have revealed that actually Netflix like has a huge market share, and then like other companies are kind of playing for second, and it's just like a week to week thing. But like for instance,
aren't they still operating at a loss?
I think
Netflix,
so, yeah.
Netflix. Probably.
Yeah. I mean, probably. They're debt spending like crazy. Like they,
yeah. And then every year they always promote like, here's a new, most expensive show ever made. It was Altered Carbon. And I think they're doing the same kind of marketing thing with the upcoming Cowboy Bebop live action remake that it's, you know, the most expensive television show ever made. And it's like, well, how are you doing that?
Right.
Yeah. Netflix is pretty much the Thanos of the streaming. Like, it's the end game. It's the long game. You know, it's the long game. That's all that matters. And then once they finally succeed, you know, once they blip half of the streaming services off the map, then they'll just sit down in their field and look out into the grass and the sun and smile. And then the movie will end. Like, they are, that is Netflix. Like, They'll operate at a loss. They'll spend all the money. Like, they're looking at the long game. And you know what? I fuck with it.
The way they get your TV show to disappear is by, you know, the Paramount Plus taking it and, like, making people watch it on Paramount Plus. That's like, okay, and nobody watches that anymore.
Yeah.
Just
a show would leave and was like, well, shit, I guess I'm done watching The Office.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know? Yeah.
That really seems to be the way it is. So just, like, some surprise things. So I always talk about how Amazon Prime, like, there's all these, like, good shows that are being hidden on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime is the University of Kentucky basketball team of streaming services, and that like these amazing talents are just there and like don't even play because John Calipari is a shitty coach. And so I talk about like Patriot is a big show that like I've watched, I know a lot of people have watched and liked, and like nobody really has seen it, like barely has its own Wikipedia page. So the Underground Railroad, which is Barry Jenkins's new kind of anthology, or not anthology series, it's a series, is actually breaking into the top 10. So like, that's just super impressive. And I think, you know, people should be watching that. And I'm going to watch it for Jack's streaming corner. I'll talk about it on the show, but that's just kind of impressive that it even made it that far. The other thing you're noticing is like just how much of an advantage TV shows have, because the way that they measure everything is in minutes viewed. Mm. And so like a movie will occasionally go to number one, like I was saying with Coming to America 2. The most recent weeks that we have data for, Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead has like performed extremely well. But then like eventually they'll fade away. So like that makes sense of like the direction that content creation has gone, and like the amount of money that they put into Cowboy Bebop and, you know, Altered Carbon and shit like that, because, you know, the more minutes you have, the better. But I do also think that like we shouldn't lose sight of the power of movies, because like this is not taking into account like how many people have actually watched movies, because it's like if 10 times the number of people watch Moana then watch Handmaid's Tale, Moana still won't make the top 10 and Handmaid's Tale will be at number one
based off just episodes alone.
Yeah, just the number of minutes.
Yeah.
So just like looking at the 5 weeks that we have so far, Mitchells versus the Machines seems to be another piece of pop culture that has been seen by enough people, is like a, you know, many hundred millions of dollars sized hit in terms of the number of people who saw it. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I didn't, but I want to watch it. I will.
Yeah, it's good. It's like a good family movie. Also, Moana is still queen. That movie is still in the top 10 movies streamed this week, despite the fact that it's like nothing happened. It's
four
not
years
like
old.
Yeah. They didn't like release new scenes or something. It's just been there.
It's because parents are lazy today. You know what I'm saying? Parents just say, kid, I don't want to raise you. Watch Disney Plus and just watch Moana. That's the joke. But
as opposed to my parents who let me watch Jaws 100 times before I was 5 years old. But I also want to talk about this show that I don't know much about. Mm-hmm. That is like frequently in the top 10 on these Nielsen streaming ratings. And that is Lucifer. Jaquise, I know you are familiar with Lucifer. What can you tell us?
Let me tell y'all a little bit about Lucifer. Lucifer is dope as shit. All right. So Lucifer was actually one of those shows that was on Fox that got canceled and Netflix saved. So it was a safe show. First, let me just say Lucifer is about the devil, Lucifer, who comes to Earth, but he's actually a good guy. He's still an angel. So it really is a cool show because it takes the mythology of those characters, Lucifer, God, all the angels, and really teaches you the mythology beyond just what religious people want us to know, which is God good, devil bad, right?
Right.
And so it's so fun. And Lucifer's a detective consultant with the LAPD, which is very funny.
He's got to know where the action is.
Yeah, he helps solve crimes. He's also like, he's always fucking. He loves drinking. He never lies. Like, it's such a fun show. And it was really fun on Fox, too. But the thing about Fox, or not Fox, but the old TV model used to be you get 20 plus episodes in a season, right? And when that was the case, 20 plus episodes of an hour long show is a lot of fucking content. So it's a lot of filler while they're trying to tell their overall story of the season. So when it came to Netflix, they bumped that down to 10, 13, 16 episodes, which means they can just tell a complete story. And the show has gotten so much better on Netflix. Wow. And it was good on Fox, but it's gotten so much better on Netflix. Because now they can do stuff like Curse. They can show booty. They can, like, actually tell one story and tell it very succinctly without a lot of filler. Excuse me. Without a lot of filler.
Up. I understand.
I'm crying,
man. It's a show
man.
You feel very strongly about.
I'm crying. This past season, too, I watched it with a homie of mine, shout out Allison, who there was moments we like cried tears. Like I cried, you know, I cried these thug tears, but they were still tears nonetheless. And it was fucking great. It's a good show. Dennis Haybert is God in this show, which is amazing. Good. It is such a fun show. If you have not watched Lucifer, please watch it. The first three seasons are still very good. They are long. But once you get to season four, when it came to Netflix, the show is going to take off in a way that you're like, this is one of the best shows on TV right now. So definitely check out Lucifer. It's good. It's very good.
I mean, you like can't miss with making the devil like the protagonist of your show or epic poem or rock song. Like it's all, just nothing but classics there.
And you root for him. Like you root for him. I don't want to give too much away in case anybody's going to watch it, but you root for him because like you forget the mythology. Well, I forget the mythology. I don't know if anybody's out there devil caping, which you are. Fantastic. But you forget like he's an angel. Like he's an angel. He's actually God's son. So they really have fun with that mythology in this show. It's dope. It's a good ass show. I recommend it highly.
Yeah. And I'm going to recommend Paradise Lost by John Milton.
Ooh.
People can check that out. Also a very good devil
Netflix
sympathetic.
Netflix is
Paradise Lost.
What you recommend, Adam? What's the show that we should be watching that you recommend?
Well, I'm nothing very current. Since the beginning of pandemic, I went all in on Star Trek. Oh. I had never seen it. And then now I'm wrapping up Deep Space Nine. And I don't know if you guys have seen any Star Trek or not, but
I've seen it a little bit.
I really like Deep Space Nine because it's like, the Next Generation is very like, you know, good guys win, bad guys die sort of thing, you know, like. And get kind of weird, but like Deep Space Nine is like, you know, the bad guys are sometimes good and the good guys are sometimes bad. And you're left often with moral ambiguity at the end. And it feels more like a show for adults than, you know, a family show. Mm. And Avery Brooks is one of the most fascinating actors I've ever seen, you know, on big screen, small screen as Captain Sisko. He's got a very strange, weird energy that is so captivating. So if you have any familiarity with Star Trek, check out Deep Space Nine. Recommendation from the 90s.
Hell yeah.
And that is not streaming on Netflix as far as I can tell.
Damn.
It is?
Damn.
Oh, ooh. It is? I'm watching it?
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
Well, I don't know why, but Paramount has let all the Star Trek stuff stay up on streaming all around. I think it's just... I don't know. I'm waiting for the day where it's just gone and is only on Paramount Plus. But
and then you'll not watch it anymore.
Yeah, and then I'm done.
Then you're done.
Well, Adam, Jaquise, it's been such a pleasure having both of you guys on today. Adam, where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Bozarth. You should listen to my show, Left Handed Radio. It's not that long. It's very funny. I do it with my partner in all things, Anna Rubinova. We've been doing it for about since 2010 with some breaks here and there. Wow. But if you guys like this show, I hope you like my show.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Go check it out. Listen, I got respect for anybody that has kept their show around since 2010. We hit 300 episodes of Culture Kings, and we was like, two fingers, niggas, we done. Huge respect. Definitely check that out.
There's like 2, 3, 4, 5-year-long breaks here and there, but reinvigorated it. And yeah, we brought it back in the pandemic and doing it weekly. We used to do it monthly. It was like a hour long. We used to do like album length sketch comedy episodes once a month, and then we decided to start just releasing one sketch every week, and it's been a lot of fun, and we've been trying to take it as weird places as we can. So
love it.
lefthandradio.com.
yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh I just discovered two Twitters that I really like. I kind of have trying to use Twitter to be more entertaining instead of, you know, keeping up with everybody's panic and anxiety breakdowns. Twitter accounts I've just discovered. One is Pet Finder Names.
Pet Finder Names.
So all these, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been on Pet Finder, but animal shelters and rescue places, they like to give wacky names to the pets to maybe like rope somebody in. So right. You can get like photos of a dog named Mr. Worldwide. You know, oh, yeah. it's a lot of fun. And then another one that I just discovered is called Old French Crime, which are these old illustrations from a French newspaper in the 1900s, early 1900s, where, you know, before photography, they had to draw like all these disasters. So, yeah, there's like a like the guy that like made that parachute suit and jumped off the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Passed out his parachute suit and he died. Yeah, there's like a drawing of the man in his suit like, oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a great way to kill an afternoon. Old French Crime.
Nice. So it's them basically drawing like the crime in progress for the purposes of like the newspaper.
Yes, and they all look like they're being staged for this theater. You know, they all look like plays because they're big dramatic poses.
Right. Jaquise, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, well, of course you can find me in these streets. And then if you want to find me beyond that, at Jaquise Neal on everything. I got three really quick tweets. You know, whenever I'm a guest, I only have one, but as a guest host, I got three.
Bang.
First, this is another Save Manifest tweet. You know, Save Manifest, which was a very good show, and they ended it on a cliffhanger, so fuck you, NBC. But it comes from at Miles X McKay, Miles with a Y. He retweeted a picture that is thunderstorm captured at high altitude and is the wing of a plane with a huge ass like thunderstorm like and clouds in the window so you can see it like right outside the plane, which is how Manifest starts. And then he says, next thing you know, I'm missing for 5.5 years. So cracked me up. Love that. Another one
Netflix is going to bring that back, right? Like
They just passed on it.
What the fuck? Is it super expensive or something?
It must be, or, you know, they got to save money and space for their show about, you know, dating and animal costumes. So yeah. Maybe that's it. I don't know. King of Twitter, King Josiah 54. The Detroit Pistons just got the first NBA draft pick selection. And then he had a tweet that says, with the first pick, the Pistons select, and then Cade Cunningham, who many people think is going to be the first pick. And then he has a GIF of Cade running from people chasing him, basically saying he doesn't want to go to the Pistons.
Right.
Which, you know, it's true. Who wants to go to Detroit? Sorry, all my people from Detroit. I love you. Midwest forever.
Right.
And then last one's from the homie Liz Adams, who is a soon mom to be. There is a picture of a very ugly alien looking person that said babies be looking like this for their photo shoots. And then she tweeted, if my baby comes out ugly, I will pretend like I care about her privacy and hide her face from the public, which I respect that. Babies be ugly sometimes.
Babies,
and sometimes y'all need to stop showing your ugly ass babies to the world. So
I'm telling you, babies are always ugly for the first few days. You need to give your baby a time. It's like a good steak or a souffle. It needs to settle. Its head is not even in the right shape. That's not what it's going to look like. My babies were all ugly for
and now they're cute.
Months. And now they're cute.
They're so cute. Yeah. Give your babies time before you introduce them to the world.
Yeah. Treat it like you're a celebrity.
Yes.
Let's see. A tweet I've been enjoying. Jason Pargin wrote, seeing a lot of people in disbelief that John McAfee could have committed suicide. This just goes to show that no matter how stable and well-adjusted a person appears on the outside, they can still be really struggling on the inside. That's funny. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes?
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Jaquise, do you have a song that you think people might enjoy?
I got one for y'all, and it's not going to be Jason Mraz. You know, I know y'all was expecting that. It's from
Jack Johnson.
It's from Jack Johnson. Upside down, everybody. No, it's from an artist called Rex Orange County, and the song is "Loving Is Easy." Rex Orange County, really dope artist, makes really dope music. And "Loving Is Easy" was my introduction to him, and I just went on a rabbit hole, and I was like, I like him. So yeah, "Loving Is Easy," Rex Orange County. Let's ride out to that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.